Please turn with me then to God's holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hear God's word. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So far, the reading of God's holy word. The text for this hour is to be found here in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, and the first verse, chapter 3, verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So far, then, the reading of God's holy word. We will now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let us say in our hearts, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe on Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that God is a God of order. We are told in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that all things must be done decently and in good order. And one of those indications of good order is that the Lord has sought to have office bearers installed in his church. And this is what we have been able to witness this afternoon, that another office bearer was installed, and that for the good order of the church. We may be thankful for that, because it is in the wisdom of God that this has occurred. Now, this is a good occasion for us to have a closer look at the office, particularly. And this is why I've picked this particular passage from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want to consider this with you under the following theme. When God calls to office-bearing work, you may know that it is, 1, desirable work, 2, responsible work, and 3, beautiful work. So, when God calls to office-bearing work, you may know that it is desirable work, responsible work, and beautiful work. We are told that it is a faithful saying amongst the early Christians, a faithful saying, if a man desire the office. And you could also, as we read it in our text, if a man desire the position, but another word can be used is when a man desires the office, and usually the word office is used. And so I will also use that term this afternoon as well. And so our text then says, if a man desires the office, and that in itself already is one of those faithful sayings. And by faithful saying, we mean it is a momentous saying. It is an awesome saying, in fact. It is a saying of great weight and also of repercussions. You see, in the early church, during the time that the apostles were still around, it was not a small matter to aspire to the office in the church. Then it was not a task for the faint in heart. In fact, then great boldness was necessary in order to come into the office of the Church of Jesus Christ. Then only the bravest, the most courageous of men would express their aspirations for the office in the Church of Christ. You might ask, well, why was that? Well, at the time, becoming an office bearer meant that you may very well lose your national citizenship. It meant that persecution would be aimed specifically at you, the office bearer. It meant that you would even carry the blame in the name of other Christians if something would go wrong in your area, in your neighborhood. If, for instance, let me give you an example. If, for instance, the crops would fail, or a plague would come around, or enemy forces would invade the land, the office bearers of the Christian churches would be the first to be dragged out of their homes by the police or those who were in control. And such office bearers then would have to answer for those particular calamities. Sometimes they would have to answer it by their very own lives. Can you imagine? Becoming an office bearer then could mean losing your job, losing your good name, losing your reputation, your good reputation in the village. Becoming an office bearer could mean much suffering for you and for your family and a time of many hardships and trials. If at that time in the gathering of Christians, a man would stand up and say, brothers and sisters, I can no longer keep it a secret, but I need to tell you, God is making me aspire for the office. Then that same group of Christians would, as it were, hold their breath for a few moments in astonishment. And many a tears would be shed at that very moment, weeping, praying for this man and for his family, that God would give them all the courage they needed in order to face that particular prospect. Oh yes, they would rejoice with him as well, to be sure. But at the same time, they knew that this man, with this inward call to the office, would place himself in a very vulnerable position where he could get hurt, where he could get slandered, where he would be persecuted, or perhaps even come to an untimely death. Can you imagine? You'll understand, therefore, that when a man felt this pressure to accept what God has put into his heart, that he would do so after much prayer, after much soul searching and examining his heart and in his life. Is this what God wants for me? He would no doubt often also look at his wife and at his children, even with tears welling up in his eyes and a prayer rising up in his heart before God, that this desire to the office would not mean the end of him or of his loved ones. You'll understand also that when a man has such a desire, he wasn't out to make any type of impression upon peoples. He wasn't out to make any kind of name for himself, not at all. With the early Christians, you see, it was true, and it was a true saying, and it was an awesome saying. If a man desires the office, he desires a good work. But even today, the aspirations towards the office is still an awesome thing. An awesome thing. By the way, the desire to the office is not something that is to be kept hidden for fear that it might be wrongly interpreted of being forward or something like that. When Paul writes here in our text, if a man desires the office, Paul means to stimulate, also wants us to stimulate a conduct that would make a man suitable for the office. And so I would encourage our young men, especially our young people, that you would consider that this may also become the call that comes to you one day, and you are to learn how to conduct yourself in a way that is fitting to be called to the office at this very moment already. When Paul writes here in our text, if a man desires the office, he says, in fact, if a man's conduct points towards the office, then you can be sure that it is a good work towards which his heart goes out. Now, Paul is not talking here about some wishful thinking that a man might have. He's not talking about certain impulses that a man might have to make something of himself. But Paul is talking here about a steady, sound, and sincere walk of life that makes a man stand out, so to speak, as a suitable candidate for the office. Paul is talking about an attitude here, a conduct of life. He's talking about a manner of behavior that makes other Christians say, hey, look, do you hear it? This man will be called to the office one day. When a man leads such a life, you see, he may be assured and he may also be encouraged and comforted that the work that he will do as an office bearer will indeed be a good work. Well, I think you know what sort of application this calls for already, because this true saying that we have here in 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the only proper expression of the desire for the office is a godly life. And the application is such. Is that a proper description of your life? Young and old, and here I would include the women as well, because you've noticed that when we read this passage, the wives, the children, also were called on to conduct themselves in a way that is fitting so that the man could be an office bearer. So all of us are called this hour. What is your life? Is it a godly life? Is it the life that tells of you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a life of humility because we are nothing in ourselves but we expect everything of God? Is your life a godly life? And a godly life, dear people, is a walk that is in harmony with what the Bible teaches. It is a walk of life that tells people that you are sincere, that you are willing to make sacrifices, that you are willing to be abused if that comes to you and if that becomes necessary, that you're willing to carry burdens of others, all for the cause of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we may be thankful that the Lord has given us such men. And the congregation, they are gifts from God. They are gifts from God. Because after all, the ability to lead a godly life does not come from our own initiative, does it? You know this well enough. But it comes from what God has worked in you. And what He has worked in you, as Paul says in Philippians, you need to work that out in your conduct. Then it will become natural for you. Against the nature of sin, it becomes natural for you to walk in a godly way. And of course, and now we reach the very bottom of it all. It means to be born again, doesn't it? It means to know something personally of the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ has made for you personally. Because after all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great office bearer who Himself has given Himself for the salvation of others, who gave His life. Now, it is true, when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that even in the best of times, we would have to admit that we come far short of what He stands for. We come far short of what is expected of us. And anyone, past, present, or future office bearer, will have to say, and as a preacher, as a pastor, I have to say it as well, dear people, I am not what I should be. And it is only by the grace of God that I am what I am. And I think every office bearer will say that along with me. Then when the call to the office comes from God through the voice of the church, then I must humbly bow before the God who calls, and that I must admire Him, that He is willing to use me, sinful, inadequate me, in the office of His church. It is indeed an awesomely true saying, if a man desire the office, he desires a good thing. The office of the church, a desirable work. But now secondly, the office in the church is also a responsible work. Now, in the early church, the responsibility of an office bearer was often measured in how much blame he could possibly bear for the calamities that occurred in his particular region or community, as I mentioned already before. If the crops failed, or if some other disaster struck, the first thing that the pagan neighbors would say was, "Aha, we know that he is to blame for it. Christian office bearer so-and-so is to be blamed for it." And that, of course, you will understand, is a very misplaced and misguided responsibility. And it could be rightly dismissed by anyone who knows the Bible even just a little bit. But there is a legitimate responsibility for the office bearer. And what is that? Well, that responsibility is couched in the very term used to describe him. In our text, office bearer is called a bishop. Now, that's a bit of an unfortunate translation in our Bible version. And that's because King James of England had pledged allegiance to the Church of England during the time that this Bible was translated, which had the tradition then yet of honoring bishops. And so that's why that term came into this text passage. A more correct translation, however, would be overseer. And that is really the term used there in the original language. And by the way, this is also the word that is used in Acts 20 and verse 28, overseer. But be that as it may, here is spelled out for you and for me the great responsibility of the office bearer. He is to be an overseer in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. His responsibility, therefore, is to have the oversight over the congregation. Now, this term is reminiscent of how shepherds had the oversight over their flocks. Children, no doubt, will know everything about this, I'm sure. A shepherd must see to it that each sheep gets enough food and gets enough to drink, and that of the right stuff. The shepherd must see to it that each sheep also stays free from injuries and from diseases. He must see to it that each sheep has a good and comfortable place of rest as well, and that each sheep is well protected and cared for, and very importantly, that each sheep knows the shepherd and feels comfortable with the shepherd. Well, now, the same way, dear people, the same way with office bearers who have the oversight of the congregation. He sees to it that the congregation has food and nourishment coming out of the gospel, and that in the right proportions, and that every area of the congregational life, the word and work of God prospers. Now, the office bearer, the elder particularly, is then particularly the overseer. And this is why I decided to preach from this passage. And that means that the people, you people must know, and you must feel comfortable with this brother and the other office bearers as well. You must take care then also that the right spiritual food, and now I'm looking at the office bearers who are sitting here, the elders particularly, that the congregation receives the right amount of food and drink, and that they receive the right amount of comfort as well. Such an elder or elders must therefore pay close attention, particularly to the preaching of the gospel and the teaching that takes place in the various classrooms as well. The elder must see to it that the people do not come to any type of spiritual injuries or contract spiritual diseases or spiritual harm, cause spiritual harm to each other. Such an elder must therefore also make regular contact with the people and make so-called family visitations, in order that he may then acquaint himself with the specific needs of the people and to speak necessary words of comfort and of admonishment. So then, the elder is, in truth, an overseer. He rules so that there is proper order in the church of Jesus Christ. He guides so that the people go in the right direction. And he must sometimes also discipline as well, so that the people, like straying sheep, and that is what we are, aren't we, by nature? We are straying sheep. That such straying sheep would then return to the flock as well. And so you can see, it is a very responsible task that the office bearer has. It is a work that requires wisdom and patience, but above all, much Christ-like love. Much Christ-like love. And the same thing, of course, applies to the office bearer, whom is called a deacon. And I just want to say a few things about that as well. Because in a certain way, a deacon is also an overseer, and that in a special way. He must look particularly for the people's needs that they have. He looks for people to pay special attention to, for people such as elderly amongst us, or those who are sick, or who are physically challenged, or who are lonely, or who are troubled in one sense or another. The deacon, therefore, too, must be responsible with the word of God to comfort, to advise, and to admonish the people. And yes, deacons must also do that. A deacon has the responsibility to show people that the saving work of God considers not only the spiritual, but also the physical and the material well-being of the people. They go hand in hand, you see. And just as God takes pleasure not only in the salvation of man's soul, but in the salvation of man's whole existence, his whole life, body and soul, and we confess that with our catechism, don't we? That we belong both body and soul to our Savior Jesus Christ. So the deacons must also show to the people that all areas of life are in direct concern of God. The office of deacon is therefore also a gift of God to the church, which the people may thankfully look to as help in need. The office of a deacon, also therefore a very responsible work, which requires everything that Christ can give and for whom we must pray as well. Office-bearing work. It is a responsible work, and the office bearers should understand this particularly, because they are responsible, not in the first place even to the congregation, but they are responsible to God especially, that they live godly lives. They're responsible then also to the congregation and must act responsibly even towards those outside of the congregation, although we hope and pray that this would not entail any type of persecution as it was in the days of Bible times. Now, what follows after our text shows how responsible the office bearer must be. At this time, however, I don't want to go into that detail, but let the congregation, and especially the office bearers, read through our text chapter again to see how responsible a work it is to be an office bearer, and for the wives to be wives of office bearers, and for the children to be children of office bearers. And may the Lord bless you in such studies. Because, as we read, even the wife and children of an office bearer are called to certain responsibilities. Moreover, the office bearer is responsible towards the congregation to conduct himself in harmony with Scripture, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and that he would never ever put any kind of disgrace on the office by any type of unbiblical conduct. He must conduct himself towards the outside in such a manner as to attract others from the outside into the church to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And all of this responsible work is to be done by the grace of God. But so that no one might be discouraged and say, well, how can I possibly accomplish this kind of work? Because who is really sufficient for all of these things that we have just heard? Let me then, in the last place, also tell you something about the work of an office bearer, that it is a beautiful work. Our text tells us that if a man desires the office, he desires a good work. Literally, in the Greek, it says a beautiful work, a beautiful work. Beautiful because the work is noble and it is a satisfying type of work. The work that an office bearer does, you see, and that he may do in the church of Jesus Christ, does have its rewards. If he does the work of God, which God wants him to do, and does it for the glory of God, always and foremost in his mind, he will gain a great appreciation for who God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And really, that is what is important for all of us, isn't it? who is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, God the Father is a giving God, a loving God, for God so loved the world that He gave. And the children will know how that verse ends. God is a loving God, and He has in His love given His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I may come to salvation and to peace with God. And this is the message that we as office bearers need to bring across to our people. And God will help us to carry that kind of responsibility. The office bearer may not have great expectations of himself because he knows very well of his own shortcomings. But he will at the same time experience times in surprisingly humbling ways that God will actually come across with His strength and with His gifts. And then we as office bearers, we stand astonished that God is willing to do this. And therefore the office bearer, dependent upon the Lord our God, will discover that God will sometimes come across in such a powerful way that it will give him great encouragement to go on. Even as the Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, God is strong. Congregation, our text is a fitting text for office bearers, I believe. It tells us that their work is a good work. It is a beautiful work. Now, I realize that this message has focused primarily on the office bearers and those who are called to the office of the church. But I hope and pray that all of us will understand very clearly the fact that God is a God of order and that He is pleased to use people in the ministry like our brother here to promote His cause, His glory, and His salvation. God, congregation, has given you this man and the other office bearers in order that you would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, in order that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's intention, you see, that this would be the outcome of it. And if you do not come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot blame anyone. You cannot blame the elders. You cannot blame the deacons. You cannot blame the pastor. You can only blame yourself. You can only blame yourself. And so take advantage of the grace of God, of the wisdom of God, and of the office bearers whom God has given to you. Receive them as servants of the Lord God. And so, brothers, office bearers, take up your task. Take it up encouragingly. Take it up knowing that God will help you every step of the way. And congregation, pray for these brothers, that they may be able to fulfill the task in such a way that God will be honored, that Jesus Christ will be the one who stands before them all and behind them all and beyond them all and above them all, that Jesus Christ will get all the honor and the praise, and that many, know that all of us, may come to trust in Him, who is, after all, the great office bearer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Return out to your homes and receive the blessings of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.